It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, let's go right to him. Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network's been super busy. Joins us this morning. Beas, how you doing?
Hey, guys. It's, 2 weeks from tomorrow is the NFL draft. Cannot believe it.
Yeah, man, it's flying. Hey, I got to play something from yesterday, if you don't mind, with Mike Florio and Chris Sims about the situation right now with Tua Tagovailoa's contract. I want you to hear this.
Tua Tagovailoa speaking recently at a football camp in Hawaii, said contract talks have been good. He's leaving it to his agent. Well, if they've been going really good, he'd have a contract by now. I really think the Dolphins are wrestling with this. I don't know. But how do you put a value on a guy who isn't top three, but who led the league in passing last year, is wildly popular? Chris, this is a tough one for the Dolphins. This is a tough one. How do you protect yourself against injury? Even though he played all of last year, that's no guarantee he's going to be good to go for the rest of his career, that he's going to stay healthy. It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. It is a tough one. What's the sweet spot? You know, we all know everybody wants their guy at quarterback, frame the team around him. We got a leader. We can believe in him, all that, right? You know, but yeah, you're saying it right. How much is him? How much is the all-star team and the coach around him, right? Is it, what's the injury history? It is real, right? We just saw a game in Kansas City where everybody talked about, wait, can he play in the cold and elements? And it didn't look very good in the playoffs. So those are your worry about. What's that sweet spot? I'm with you, Mike.
How many other guys out there can do what he's doing in the Mike McDaniel offense? People get mad about that, but that is a real issue for the Dolphins. We'll see if they can work it out.
All right, Beas, I guess we're trying to figure out when this contract. I'm guessing the Dolphins have made some offers, and I'm guessing Tua's team has said, not enough yet. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm sure they've absolutely talked about it. The framework of what the Dolphins have in mind, and credit to the Dolphins for not shooting for the moon too early, right? I mean, not completely out, you know, bidding against themselves. A couple of, I guess, bits of context here. One, these quarterback contracts usually happen in the summer. Teams, Greer said it back in February and March. Like, these things are complicated negotiations, and they take time. And you look at when Joe Burrow got done and Justin Herbert got done, and I think even Lamar was a little later in the calendar than we are now. Certainly, you know, he got tagged, and that changed the dynamic a bit. But these things do take some time. So if we were 2 weeks out from training camp and there was no contract, we'd certainly be, you know, sounding the alarm bells. I do think they do take time. But talking to their broader point, they're right. I mean, it is a weird situation because usually, you know, Pro Bowl quarterback, lead league in passing, team's been to the playoffs the last 2 years. That the Dolphins' winning percentage with two under center is great compared to when he's not. All those things are absolutely true. But we have eyes. We saw how the season ended last year. Went very poorly in the last 2 weeks against playoff teams. Went very poorly in the playoff game, and that was that. I think that information is important context for the Dolphins as well. So, no, I don't think he's going to reset the market. I don't think if his agent's looking for that $60 million a year deal, which would basically be the Burrow deal plus inflation, they're going to probably be disappointed, and they're going to probably go to free agency next year, and the Dolphins will have to tag Tua if they want to keep him. But if Tua has a more reasonable expectation of what his value is, and I'm not saying they're going to get him for $30 to $35 million a year. That's nuts. That's not what his market is. But I think that sweet spot is somewhere between $40 and $50 million a year, and the guaranteed money is a big concern. You're going to guarantee 2 years, you're going to guarantee three. I'm sure he's going to want you to guarantee four. If you give him $160 to $200 million guaranteed, that is an enormous risk given his injury history, plus all those things we talked about, him not really showing up in the big moments down the stretch of season. So Tua's got to make a decision. I think it's what it's going to come down to, is what he's going to get here, not just financially, but also support-wise,
right.
You know, the ability to play his best football, comfort level. I think he likes a lot about playing in South Florida, about playing for this franchise. Is that worth him maybe taking a bit of a haircut and accepting less than maybe he'd get in the open market? Something else we got to talk about, Joe. How much leverage does he really have at this point? Yes, he played fantastic last year in stretches. He got them to the playoffs for a second straight year, but he does have 1 year for sure on his contract, and two more with the franchise tag. And if you put those 3 years together, it kind of averages out between $45 and $50 million a year. And there's no guarantee. There's no security if you play year to year. You get hurt, or you play poorly, your market changes. So maybe he does come to the realization that, you know, if I get, you know, $130 to $135 million guaranteed, and there's some funny money at the end that saves face that makes this contract one of the five biggest in NFL history, maybe that's enough for me.
Is it fair Mike McDaniel gets as much credit for Tua as he does? I think it's more than fair. What are your thoughts?
So the question is, do you think who deserves more credit, Mike or Tua?
No, I'm just saying what Mike has done, the system he put in, the players he put around him to do and take advantage of what Tua does best.
Yeah, I know, and I love him, but Perk was, you know, late in the last season last year saying, oh, should Mike McDaniel be in the hot seat if they don't, you know, win the playoff game? And look, if Mike was on the open market this past cycle, he would have had an interview with every single opening, and he would have gotten a job immediately. Adam Gase got a job after getting fired by the Dolphins. That's how much teams value offensive-minded coaches, and certainly McDaniel's case, guys that really have a track record now of developing quarterbacks. I think he deserves a lot of credit. Certainly you need the quarterback to make the throws, and Tua has done that by and large very, very well since McDaniel's come to town. But I don't think you can gloss over the difference in creativity, explosiveness, and production that he has brought to not just Tua but the offense as a whole. He is one of the 5 to 10 best offensive minds in all of football, and teams pay an enormous premium to get a guy like that.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. People start going on him. I go, you're in the wrong place, man, wrong neighborhood. I'm a big fan of the guy, no matter – I know we haven't gotten there. It sucks we haven't won a playoff game in 24 years, but I like that guy that's the head coach. All right, so Finns look like they pretty much have taken the base of their team, and we now have starters at every position. Not maybe good enough, but we have guys that have come in. They're veterans or have been part-time players that you could put in. So now you need to upgrade with young starters or young guys that come in for rotation positions to add depth to this team. For you, what would be first on that list as you're looking at it and put the make-believe depth chart together?
Yeah, I think first-round targets are pretty clear at this point. I think it's offensive tackle who can play guard this year, which is what they need. They need a guard in 2024, and they need a left tackle in 2025 because, unless he, sips from the fountain of youth, this is probably going to be Armstead's last year in Miami and might be his last year in football. So you're going to need a left tackle in 2025. The good news is there's a ton of them. Like, we can go through the list. There's a ton of guys that can play both tackle and then slide into guard, which my guess is they'll find a guy to either play left or probably more likely right guard this coming year.
I agree.
Yeah. So someone who has position flexibility, I think, is the number one need still for this team. Talk about defensive tackle. I mean, certainly you're not going to replace Christian Wilkins, but you look at what they've done in the aggregate, and they certainly can get by. And I think, honestly, edge rush is more of a concern for me at this point than defensive tackle.
Wow.
But both of those two positions, yeah, because you really don't know. I mean, everyone's just assuming, oh, Phillips will be fine. Look at him. He looks like Superman in his rehab videos. Bradley Chubb, no problem. Maybe. I mean, you might be talking about the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season without either of those guys, and maybe they both have a miraculous recovery, and they're both ready and good to go. But even if they're up, it takes time to get back from that. So, do you want to go through the first month and a half of the season, even if they're available at maybe 60-70% of their productivity? There are also a lot of good edge rushers on the market there, and Shaq Barrett is a nice complementary piece. But if Shaq Barrett's your number one pass rusher for the first month and a half of the season, you're going to give up some points. So, me personally, I would go and find an edge rusher, a guy that can play with his hand in the dirt and standing up, and there are some names there we can go through as well available in the draft. That would be, to me, a need number two. And then you look, they need a number three wide receiver, but they also have to think long term. They need a number three wide receiver who can be a one or a two in a year or two, because we don't know how much longer Tyreek Hill's got here. Jalen Waddle's got a contract coming up. This will be year three of that tandem. If they don't get it done this year, if they don't have an impact late in the season in the playoffs, which they haven't, by the way. You look at their history, late in the season and in the playoffs together, that duo kind of disappears a bit. Maybe the Dolphins decide to move on. So I think If one of those top wide receivers falls to 21, I think they'll consider that absolutely as well. And then you just think of the most common cornerback is always a position that the Dolphins be interested in. I don't think that's really a factor in round one. I think it's those three positions. And it's good, to your point, they're in a place now that they don't have to reach for any of those. They can take the best available of those three positions, and there's going to be 5 to 8 players that they're going to really, really like at 21. They're going to get not just a top 20 talent at that pick, they're going to probably get a top 15 talent.
I got to ask you about T.R. Tartt. Everybody looks at him differently. Do you think he comes in and can start? Is he clearly better than the rest of the guys they signed?
I don't think you really need to think of any of those guys as clear starters, aside from obviously Sealer. I think they brought in, 6 now defensive tackles? And you can say, oh, they're just Jags, right? They're just, just the guys. And I don't think that's super fair. I think they all serve a purpose. And, the guys that, the futures contracts guys early, they sign in the offseason, I think they'll be long shots to make the team. But, they've got players that have had meaningful snaps in the NFL that if you can get 30 to 35 snaps per game out of all those guys, you can piece together a pretty good defensive line. I mean, what people are worried about is where's the playmaking going to come from up the middle? Sealer, certainly 10 sacks last year, is going to be a big part of it. But I don't know if this defense is going to be as reliant on the defensive tackles to get pressure on the quarterback than in years past. I think Tartt is a good addition. He helps with your run defense. Him and Benito Jones in short yard situations will be really good. But if you're looking for him to be a 8 to 9 sack guy a year, I just don't see it.
No, it's not going to happen. I agree. Hey, I got to ask you one position you left out. Who's your third safety behind Holland and Poyer?
Oof, that's a great question. Is it Nick Needham?
I don't know. Elijah Campbell's back there, who's done a little bit of everything. But as far as playing, I wouldn't be surprised to see a second-round pick.
Wow, you think it's going to be that high? Yeah, I think they really – they're hurt this year by not having three. I mean, they're hurt every year when you lose draft picks. But having that three taken away from them is really painful this year because this is kind of a shallow draft. You get to day three and you're just throwing darts at a dartboard. And NIL and the COVID year and all those things have really – sap the depth of this draft. And so you might in the past be like, oh yeah, round four, no problem. They don't have a fourth round pick either, but saying they did, or even round five, I think Rashad Jones is a 6th round pick. So you can find safeties in day three. Maybe not so much this year. Problem is, Joe, is that they've got so many other concerns.
Yeah, no, you're right.
If you're at 55, and there's a you didn't get your alignment in round one, it's red alert. You got to get a guard, and vice versa. If you don't know what your number three wide receiver situation is going to look like, if you have no pass rush and one of those guys that you like that maybe would have been in the low 30s falls to the mid 50s, you're going to take that as well. I just don't think safety's a position that teams really value anymore. And is that a mistake? I don't know, but I think offensive line, pass rush, and wide receiver.
Yeah.
Two of those three spots will be your first two picks.
Everybody's been talking about that pass rusher, and I understand why, because the unknown of when those two guys are going to be back. Is it over under on October 1st? I don't know. But you're talking about drafting a guy potentially in the first round as your fourth pass rusher. It's down the road. I mean, it gives you depth, and we found out at the end of the year, hell, all four guys were injured, so it was tough to play without them. I'm wondering how much emphasis they're going to put on that pass rushing or that edge rusher. I'm really curious.
Something that hasn't been discussed, and I think we should, they got about a month, not even, maybe 3-4 weeks, to decide what they're going to do with Jalen Phillips, because he's got his fifth-year option coming up. And, I guess 10 months ago, not 9 months ago, it would have been a no-brainer. But we're not doctors. We don't know what's going on with those Achilles. And certainly it's not the same injury as when Danny had it 30, 40 years ago or whatever. But it's still, the science is clear. Pass rushers do not come back the same from Achilles. And there are examples to disprove the rule, like Cam Wake and all that. But, you look on the macro sense, and pass rushers, outside linebackers, tend to not bounce back quite the same as other positions because just the lateral movement they need, the explosivity and all that. It'll be very fascinating. Yeah. you know, Phillips is a guy, they're like, oh, okay, we love you. We're going to get a deal done with you. If you ball out, maybe we'll tag you. Although if they don't get a deal done with Tua, that would take that off the table. But, I mean, they have two now. They have two guys they have to figure out, him and Waddle, what they're going to do with. I mean, sure, Waddle's a no-brainer, you know, pick up his fifth-year option. But I think the injury to Phillips has really scrambled what their long-term plans are. And Bradley Chubb isn't going to play forever, and he's coming off injury. You know, there are concerns. So maybe this gives them a soft landing if things with Phillips go a way they don't want.
Hey, I leave you with this one because I'm starting to think more and more this might happen. And I'd love to state that 21st pick, but you wouldn't be surprised if I told you somebody jumped up and made an offer and Chris Greer could pick up a second or third round pick, that he wouldn't dump that 21st pick and move back. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%, and particularly because how deep the tackle class is. If their mindset is, we got to get a tackle who's going to play guard this year, that's what we're going to do with their first-round pick, which happens, by the way. The Dolphins have done that before. You know, maybe they say, hey, we're at 21, there's five dudes we love. We can get back to 28 and know that one of those five will be there. And then they recoup to that third-round pick they've lost. I think you're absolutely onto something, Joe.
All right. Hey, B's, great having you, man. Great breaking down everything. We're all a little bit different, trying to figure out how to fill in the puzzle here on some of these positions. It's going to be fun to watch. Thanks. Appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, my friend.